Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Sunbury Motors Studio is mobile today at Front Street Station. We're going to have a lot of fun here tonight. And nothing has happened yet at Ohio State. They are still in meetings. They have been in meetings since 9 o'clock this morning. There has been no public resolution yet as to the fate of Urban Meyer. We're going to have a good time here tonight. Our crew is here. I've also been thanked by several people in the area that now understand the voting record of one Danville individual. Look, somebody had to ask on the air finally, have you ever voted to raise taxes? And after the, the answer is yes. Obviously, it must have been multiple times.
You were an inquiring mind and wanted to know.
I was thinking about moving there now.
Well, you're closer. You got to Nori. You're about 10 miles out.
Now, Nori looks beautiful. And not only that, the taxes are lower. All right, so. All right. There's been no resolution yet on Urban Meyer. He did attend the meeting at 9:30 this morning. But it also, now, what really interested me was it wasn't just the Board of Trustees. It also included their Compensation Committee. All right, now why would the Compensation Committee be there? Well, they don't know what the resolution is, so if there's a buyout, they need them. If it is a suspension without pay, they need them there as well. Or if he continues on. Again, right now he's in the suspended with pay category, right? Which the suit has said is his lifelong dream. Suspended with pay.
Steve.
Bob Buhner, by the way, stepping in. Bob.
I've been a trustee at two universities for over 30-some years, and I've been in these kinds of sessions talking about similar issues, but on obviously much more minor scale. The thing that fascinated me about this whole arrangement this morning was that the Board of Trustees at Ohio State University started out in a public meeting at 9 o'clock, went into executive session.
Within seconds.
Yes. We're throwing you all out of the room, and we're going to talk now privately in executive session. But
that probably is part of their bylaw.
It can be. It doesn't have to be, being a public university, but yes. And then the announcement also said that at the conclusion of the executive session, it would be up to the president of Ohio State to make any decision that would affect whatever it is they were discussing in executive session, which is somewhat baffling to me in that the Board of Trustees has ultimate power over a president, and what they say will go.
Right.
But I guess what they're really saying is it'll be up to the president to make the announcement.
Well, I think this is how I look at it, all right? If you take each incident unto itself and it's handled unto itself, okay. But here's the problem you have. The timeline really throws a lot into question here, okay? Now, it's not Ohio State, but it's Florida, all right? The Myers, as a couple, know about the 2009 incident. They know about it. Okay. Despite the 2009 incident and knowledge of it, when Urban Meyer, who takes a year off after the Penn State Outback Bowl game, that was his last game at Florida, he's out for a year. And then in 2012, he takes the Ohio State job. He then, as one of his hires, brings in Zach Smith, already with knowledge of an incident 3 years earlier. So the question is going to be, was there any vetting done by Ohio State about the hire of this assistant coach, or did he have total control over what assistants he brought on board, regardless of vetting? Okay, that's just a question for them. These are answers we do not have. All right. Now, it doesn't matter what order it happens in at this point. There's a 2013 DUI. He says he did not want to tell Urban Meyer about it and didn't. All right? Now, that one I'll take his word on, but I don't get how that one didn't make the police blotter.
You know,
of some sort. Why didn't
it's
that?
It's public record.
Right. It's a public record thing. Now, it may have been put into a different category, but even in a different category, it's public record. They put everything out there.
Of course.
Right? So, okay, so I'm going to bypass that one, saying, okay, that the head coach doesn't know anything about it because obviously the employee is doing everything he can to make sure the boss didn't know about it. Okay. Now we get to the next two. The one that everybody knew about originally, the 2015 incident, and it doesn't matter what order. But the story that Brett McMurphy wrote about what was delivered to the office, using—I don't know if he used a company credit card or not. I think he used a personal credit card, but it was delivered to the office, and he also used an Ohio State phone. Okay, but go further into the story. The key part to me, the entire story, is not the part that gets the clicks. The key part of the story is, oh, wait a minute, a staffer, a female staffer, had to be reassigned because of being with him. All right? So now you've got three things, where every single time the person stays on their career path, lays waste to others around him. Okay, you're going to tell me that the female staffer would probably had a lifelong dream of working in a sports office and so forth, is working with Ohio State football.
Yeah.
But she's fine. She got transferred someplace else. She's still making it. No. Again, on the tree, she would be, quote, the subordinate. Yeah. On the tree. He stays in his career path. He lays waste to those around him. Oh, and by the way, the same supervisor keeps him on the career path. That's a big problem.
On the other hand of this whole argument that has to bear into the decision-making process, Steve, is this. The police who investigated all this never brought any charges.
Yeah.
And so if you're the football coach, you're the football coach. We've had this in other situations where all of a sudden the press, the media wants to make the football coach or the athletic director the primo investigator well outside their realm.
Okay, football coaches, all right, are employees.
Exactly.
Okay? You just talked about, and you preface this by talking about the president's going to make the decision, oh, wait a minute, the president's under the Board of Trustees.
Right.
Well, the football coach is under the Board of Trustees, under the president, under the athletic director. I don't care what anybody, he's more powerful than Gene Smith.
No.
The business tree says he is not.
And he is not.
And it's not his job to investigate. It's his job to report up the chain, which it sounds like he did on the 2015.
Yes.
Okay? But the problem is the combination of everything.
Yeah.
Why does this, you know, what in the heck does this guy bring to the table where he can stay in his career path and they're reassigning somebody here,
Yeah. They're
bypassing that there, and you have to ask yourself, okay, why was there a restraining order on him? Because that's what ultimately got him fired, because he violated the restraining order, because he was supposed to meet his ex-wife at a neutral location to drop off his children.
Yeah, and that's a common thing.
That's standard. But then he couldn't find her, so he took them to the driveway, violated the order, and that, okay, what? You don't know that at Ohio State? You don't know that? If the Myers are so close to the Smiths, they don't know there's a restraining order?
Yeah, and the other part is simply this. Those civil restraining orders, protection from abuse orders, are civil matters, not criminal.
Right.
My question is...
But you still have it. A guy on your staff has that.
Exactly.
A guy that is recruiting people for you has a restraining order on.
There are two things... that, to me, are missing from the initial press reports that came out when this happened. Number one is, what does the contract language precisely say in Urban Meyer's contract on this point of reporting things? You know, you'd want to see a verbatim.
You know there's Title IX.
I do know there's Title IX.
There's Title IX, and I'm telling you right now, I think that is a gigantic sticking point here.
It can
because
be.
Because you and I both know that universities have become, especially in the last 5 years, extremely touchy about Title IX.
I was going to use the word sensitive, but it's beyond that.
Yeah, but I'm just saying that they are. I'm only stating a fact.
Absolutely.
I'm making no judgment at all as to how they should handle Title IX, but I'm trying to make the point that that is a big deal to them.
Let's go back further 5+ years to the beginning of the decade when the big announcement was made that Urban Meyer became the head coach. Do you think there may have been pressure for him out of the gate to have Zach Smith on his staff when he got to Columbus?
No, there would be no pressure on him because he's Urban Meyer. I understand the question because he's Earl Bruce's grandson.
Yeah.
But Urban Meyer is walking in there with two national championships. Zach Smith is an adorable add-on.
Well, the second question I have along those lines, Steve, is what exactly does this assistant coach bring to the table that it's worth protecting him or apparently protecting him? Is he like the number one recruiter for Ohio State now? Is he the guy that goes back and, you know, just checks on what's for lunch in the coach's room? What does he do or bring to the table that is so worth protecting?
Look, have they had good wide receiver corps? Yeah. Are they the cradle of wide receivers? No.
No.
I mean,
exactly.
Yeah, I mean, they're not the cradle of wide receivers. I mean, they've had good ones, and obviously, you know, like a guy like Devin Smith's a good player. Hey, I mean, Jalen Marshall didn't really do a lot. DeAndre Wilson didn't do a lot.
Yeah.
I mean, Paris Campbell, I'm still kind of waiting to see what they're going to do with him. They moved him to H-back this
right.
year.
Right. And, you know, I was thinking, Steve, as before we started the show, we should probably have an Urban Meyer over and under on this thing.
Well, there is already odds put out.
That's what I mean.
There are odds put out as to how it turns out today. It's, you know, and, you know, there was like that he gets suspended. He gets suspended with time served. How many games? 2, 3, 1. More than 4, will the suit take over as the head coach? I mean, there's all sorts of stuff.
Exactly. That's a 3-1, I think, right there, that the suit will be the next head coach at Ohio State.
Well, we were kicking around before we went on the air. We would have thought there had been an official announcement or
sure.
at least a press conference
there
by
isn't.
Now. Right. But you brought up a great point earlier, talking about the various cycles that this process has gone through today. So no surprise by you so far that there's not been an announcement?
On the other hand, this is not the Manafort jury that went 4 days either. This should be a pretty straight. There's not like they're going through piles of evidence because they don't have to. It's not a trial. In these areas, Steve, there's no such thing as, you know, Mr. The coach has to be guilty beyond a reasonable doubt and all that.
Right.
There's no guilty or acquittals. It's whatever they feel.
Right, yeah, whatever they think is. And look, the university is always going to protect the university.
First and foremost.
I don't know how many trustees they have.
It's a large group. I do know that.
Let's just pick a number. Say it's 20.
At least.
Okay? You're going to have 20 diverse opinions in the room.
Yes.
They are not going to be a lockstep in there, and it could be a pretty deep argument in there as to how they feel how to handle it.
It'll be a passionate argument, too. You know, the one thing to think about is, let's just pretend we're in the room, we're Ohio State trustees, and we're looking at the schedule, and we go, okay, let's see, the fourth game just happens to be Penn State, or fifth game. Do we do a 4-game suspension? Do we do a 6-game suspension? Do we bring them back for the Penn State game, or if we're going to, you know, suspend them? I wonder, and I, you know, it's all just fun speculation. Are they looking ahead at the schedule and saying, well, which game? I'm just speculating.
Nobody knows.
No.
All I know is I thought by noon we'd know.
I did not. I thought it would. Right. I thought they would spend the morning discussing. I thought they'd send out for lunch. They'd sit around in a more informal setting over lunch, and about 1:30 in the afternoon, they'd come out and say, "Here's what we're doing."
Well, we're at Front Street Station. Great to have everybody on board here. And
you called it. No rain.
Oh yeah, no rain.
You called it. You called it.
Not be an issue today.
You called it.
But we're enjoying it. I'm having a glass of water. You're having a glass of water, and somebody who claims to have had a hard week's on the eighth drink. We'll come back with more in a moment here on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Gorgeous day to be out here at Front Street Station. As we roll on today, it's going to be a lot of fun here this evening. Great to see our great crew out here today, at least most of them. And we're just having a good time here today. Bob Buhner's alongside Sean Carey as we continue on. Penn State football is going to get rolling with its season coming up in a mere 11 days. High school football gets underway 2 days from now. The August 24th opener, including Shikellamy playing Danville. That will be great. It will be on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Also, we've got Lewisburg and Selins Grove. You'll hear the Lewisburg broadcast on 100.9 The Valley, and Selins Grove, you'll hear the Seals on Eagle 107.
So, I think that's a great game to start off the season. Selins Grove, who lost their premier quarterback, Logan Leiby. He's up at Bloom University.
Only lose their top two wide receivers in Jared Inch and Ricky Cope. Yeah.
And not everybody can get into Bloomsburg.
Exactly.
Plus, Selins Grove lost their all-time sack leader, Tony Dressler. He's going to Lock Haven.
So there's... I think that's going to be a great one in the Danville Schick game. I get the Kevin Hurst scouting report. He has no idea what's going on.
The Danville scouting report.
Yeah, he gets.
I mean, asked him the question to preview the game. Danville this, Danville that, Danville this. Right. Well, what about the team you broadcast for? Suddenly, out of nowhere, the sound. I mean, suddenly Simon and Garfunkel. Sounds of Silence. I don't know.
Well, I think it's.
Thank goodness Dick Hort's there.
Yeah. Steve, in the Susquehanna Valley, the Danville-Shikellamy rivalry was one of the biggest in the day. It was always the first game of the season from about 1966 to the 1990s. And the story from the Danville side is coming down to Shikellamy, you had to go over the bridge into Sunbury to the stadium, and it was called Courage Bridge. Because that's where the boys from Danville were to get their courage to go battle the Braves in the city of Sunbury.
Well, some people find salvation in liquid courage.
Yes.
All right, and there he is.
Not the word courage, though.
Coach Hort's a Danville fella. He worked for my father back in the day.
Well done.
So we'd consider him a spy.
Not using the word courage, though, but for years and years, Lewisburg and Selins Grove would scrimmage. And
yeah, they would scrimmage. They wouldn't play a game.
This is the first time now they get the chance to play a true regular season game. And I think early on, the first couple of series, we're going to find out toe-to-toe Lewisburg is going to be able to stick with the Selins.
And then Bucknell's going to open up here coming up on the first.
Yep.
And, they have a really – Bucknell's a really tough schedule. I mean, that is not – an easy schedule. Penn's the third game of the year at Franklin Field, for goodness sakes.
Absolutely. Bloom University opens up the Pennsylvania State Athletic Conference with a home game with a team called Merrimack out of the New England 10 Conference.
Yep.
They've typically done that opening with colleges from New England. And again, the question up there, will this incoming freshman Logan Leiby, the all-time District 4 passing record holder, will he start? Will he redshirt? Will he do anything? Everyone's waiting to see that. So we have another Quiete from the Pocono Mountains. His brother Franklin was the Harlan Hill Award winner and one of the all-time great rushers. So it'll be it's exciting, darn it.
Yeah, it's no. Once we get all this other stuff that we have had to talk about on a daily basis and actually start talking about the games, it'll be great. Penn State, Appalachian State. Look, Appalachian State has a really terrific running back, Jalen Moore, and their secondary is outstanding. I mean, not good. Their secondary is really good. But after having a four-year starter quarterback gone, changes the equation. Those of you who want to get a rundown on the Shikellamy Danville game, the suit will be about a block and a half from here and got to handle the crowds.
Yeah.
Kind of hand signals that.
Yeah.
Huddle in.
Huddle in.
You think the show's number one? All right, terrific. Okay, we'll come back, Front Street Station, as we continue with more in a moment here on News Radio 1070 WKOK, the Sunbury Motor Studio mobile today. Bob just bought a car today from Sunbury Motor.
Absolutely.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
All right, you can confirm this. I checked my email just moments ago.
Okay.
And I got this email.
How to handle rogue employees.
Unbelievable.
No joke.
Not a coincidence.
How difficult is it to handle a rogue employee? Jamie? You can tell by the cut of his clothes there haven't been a lot of sales. All right, so. Okay, we're at Front Street Station. Great to have you with us here today. How many of those are you going to have, by the way? Only four only so four? Far? That's great.
I advised him what the legal limit was, and he doubled it. And
5 o'clock somewhere.
Yeah, look at a guy like Matt Cottrill, a responsible young guy, understands he's got to drive home when he's done. I mean, right? Allegedly the person that sets the example.
Yeah.
All right, so college football season's coming up. No resolution on Urban Meyer yet. There are a few things that are interesting, and let me give you one that is one of the rules. Now, we talk about the redshirt rule extensively, but starting October 15th, any student-athlete, especially in football, can walk into the coach's office and say, I'm transferring. Within 48 hours, that player's name must be put on a database. That's it. LSU had four guys vying for the quarterback spot. Two of them decided to transfer. Well, one of them comes out today and says, they gave me a list. Now, it's not October 15th yet. They gave him a list of who he couldn't transfer to. It was everybody in the SEC West, everybody in the SEC East, and the other four teams that are on their schedule non-conference.
So that would have been per Ed Orgeron, correct?
Right, Ed Orgeron. Okay, now let's get to this. It's 9 days before they start the season. Right? The concern is he'd transfer someplace. He's grad, by the way, so he can play right away. Now, he's not going to win the job in 9 days, okay? Especially if you are an LSU quarterback transfer. If you couldn't win that job, what job are you going to win? All right? But the fear was that he would tell the opponent what he knows. What he knows. All right?
He'd start memorizing the playbook real fast, supposedly.
Now, it's the worst thing, Matt. You deserve that. Enjoy that. No. Guy that works as hard as you do, works as hard as you do. I mean, there's no life of leisure for you. None whatsoever. I'll tell you, he'd make a great play-by-play guy, wouldn't he?
I think so.
Yeah, terrific play-by-play
guy. He's good.
No, I mean, I've heard you're really good. I mean, you're probably the third best guy we have in the staff doing the games. All right, so here's your opportunity, because we're 2 months out, to make your organization just look good and not panic.
No, why?
They can't get out of their own way.
Well, don't you think that's, Steve, goes back to head football coaches being or thinking they are master gamesmen, and this is all one big game, and this is all putting the pieces of the puzzle together and playing with people's heads, so to speak. It's a gamesmanship.
Oh, sure, but you know what really kicked it into high gear? It was he ended up getting to Iowa eventually, but he was redshirted for Bo Ryan.
Basketball player.
Yeah, so now he wants to transfer. He redshirted, he looks around, he says, I don't know about this. So he's going to transfer. Bo puts down the other 11 Big Ten teams he can't go to, because at this point Nebraska's in, Rutgers and Maryland aren't. So the other 11, every ACC team, okay? Because we might play one of them in the ACC Challenge. The odds of Wisconsin playing Boston College might be long.
Yeah, like about 8%.
He put 24 schools down he couldn't transfer to.
You know, since you know, Steve, that I'm sort of on the law school side of looking at sports from time to time and chatting with you about it, I wonder how lawful that is for a coach or a school to say, oh, you... You don't want to be here at this university and get your great education. But you can't go to 25 other schools in the United States of America and play football. I wonder if there was a challenge to that, where that would go.
Well, what happened was in the end, he did transfer to Iowa, which was obviously on one of the schools that was on Bo's list, because there was such intense pressure put on Bo, like, this is absurd.
Yeah.
And the kid grew up in Iowa, by the way. So Drake, Iowa State, they were on the list.
Sure, Northern Iowa, et cetera, et cetera.
Right. And so there was such intense pressure put on Bo Ryan over this that finally just relented to go and do whatever he wanted. Now, the kid ended up being a good player, by the way. A good player. He played very well. He was a double-digit scorer, the whole thing. Fine.
Yeah.
But, you know, that's what I think was the starting point on, hey, wait a minute. You notice there's been far more leniency on transfers, far more leniency on grad transfers. In fact, Indiana had a wideout to transfer to Pitt. He was supposed to sit out this year. Tasir Mack, last week got clear, he's going to play for him.
He'll
play for him right away. So, so you have far more leniency on that. In college football, there were, in 2011, 17 grad transfers. Last year, there were 200.
Oh, I think it's the going thing now. I think everybody's, all those guys that were sat 3 years behind a starting quarterback or a linebacker, they've got one last hurrah. They've done their academic classroom work for their undergraduate degree, and they've got 1 year left. My goodness, let me go to a place where I can go out in style, hopefully.
Well, that's why when I look at Miles Sanders and I look at Tommy Stevens, I see two guys that buck the norm.
Yes.
And let's start with Miles Sanders. Patience is not a virtue today among some of the younger players out there where, quote, I wait my turn. You know, let's face it, in your profession, working your way through the ranks, you had to repeatedly wait your turn.
You sit third chair, you sit second chair, finally you're allowed to be a trial lawyer, etc. You gain experience. You don't get thrown into the mix right away. Absolutely. Every profession is that way.
Sean, along the way, had to wait his turn to work his way to get where he what he's doing today. I had to wait my turn to become the football play-by-play guy at Penn State. So, you know, everybody that has accomplished something did not automatically get it. They had to wait their turn. Well, today, especially in sports, you don't see the willingness like there were in the old days to wait your turn. Oh, we've got Charlie Pittman, so Lydell Mitchell has to wait. Oh, we've got John Cappelletti, right? Tommy Donchez has to wait. And that was like that all through time. Blair Thomas had to wait behind DJ Dozier. Had to wait.
Yes.
Okay? Well, Miles Sanders is behind a generational player. Okay? And the generational player, of course, is Saquon Barkley. And
that is not
this segment of our show is brought to you by our good friends at Norfolk Southern.
Yes.
All right. Norfolk Southern, pulling trains since 1892. All right. Great to have him by. And, hey, good news.
I think the one that just went by was the one that started and went over the intercontinental divide into Utah.
Exactly. But he waited his turn, and he knew he was behind a generational player, so he was smart enough to know that. He knew when he signed on as a five-star player, Pennsylvania Player of the Year, that this guy already had a year on him, and he was had the wow factor. Miles waited, and now here's his chance. And I sense you're going to see something where, hey, it's going to pay off. Now let's get to Tommy Stevens. Tommy Stevens graduated in May.
Yeah, he's got a Penn State diploma.
He could have gone anywhere in the country, anywhere, right? He didn't have to go to an FCS school. He could have gone to any Power 5 school that had a quarterback opening. The backup quarterback for Washington, for example, right, Samuels, is going to be the starting quarterback for Colorado State against Hawaii this weekend.
Wow.
Okay, and he was the backup in the Fiesta Bowl.
Yes.
Okay? So Tommy didn't do that. Tommy decided to stay. And those two guys, I think, deserve the admiration of the fan base because it says a lot about them, but it also says a lot about Penn State football.
I think it says a lot about James Franklin, too.
Yep.
And how he's able to recruit people like that which are the exception rather than the norm of what we're seeing in college football today.
And again, all that movement, like I mentioned, you're going to see a transfer starting. Now, the AP All-America team, preseason. Trace McSorley is second team. Who's first team? Guy that transferred from Florida to West Virginia,
yeah.
Will Greer. Who's the starting quarterback at Michigan? Transferred in.
Yeah.
All right? Shea Patterson. Hey, you've got a lot. I mean, this is the way it has gone in college football, where now you have more free agency in a loose term than ever before. So now that goes back to the database and to LSU. Okay? These two quarterbacks, okay, know they've been beaten out.
Right.
So they decide, hey, look, I'm going to transfer. One of them that comes out today and says, they put down, I don't know, 10 to 15 schools I couldn't transfer to. Right? This is 2 months away from the ability to put your name on the database,
right,
unfettered, and just go whatever you want, do whatever you want at that point. And LSU takes the publicity hit by just doing something. They say it's procedural. Dump the procedure. Be smart enough. Look around. Like, just put them there. You go wherever you want.
Don't you think, Steve, like anything else, whether it's the Congress or the Pennsylvania General Assembly or the legislative body for the NCAA, that there's the rule of unintended consequences always comes to play?
Every time, and I talk about the unintended consequences all the time. To me, when you sit down to put together a regulation, a rule, or a law, you have to then sit down. Give me as many scenarios as possible of unintended consequences. Then we'll decide whether it's worth putting it and enacting it.
As a proud member of the legal profession, I love looking for loopholes in everything.
Yeah, in every single thing.
And that's what, and truthfully, football coaches, athletic directors, and their staffs,
no doubt,
are just as good, if not better, at it than anybody.
Let me give you an example. Okay, here's an example athletically. When Tom Izzo's father passed away, he was able to take his team to the funeral, and then they went to the national semifinal at the Cotton Bowl. Okay? Who picked up on it? Okay? Jim Harbaugh, who then took his team,
yes,
to IMG because Tom Izzo, unintentionally, because he,
yep,
wanted that, okay, found the loophole in the rule to take the team off campus.
Yep.
Right? Somebody said, Harbaugh's ingenious. Harbaugh's not ingenious. He saw somebody else do it and went, oh, hey, we can do that.
A man
too,
who knows how to pluck a good idea from somebody,
right,
else.
Right, which is there's no harm in that. I mean, there's a perfect example sitting right there. I mean,
yeah,
no original ideas there. And so, it's just the way it is. And so that's the unintended consequence, where it opened the door for, hey, let's go to IMG, let's go to Italy, let's go to France. That's how the genesis of that idea came about, because they found the loophole that allowed them to take the team off campus.
And Steve, when you think about that, and coaches looking for loopholes,
right,
it started out not in that context of recruiting or traveling. It was the gimmick plays that they came up with, the famous fumble rooski,
sure,
at Nebraska. The coaches looked at the rule book, thought about it, came up with something that didn't circumvent the rules. There was no rule to cover it, so they did it until somebody told them to stop.
Penn State ran that play one time.
Did they really?
One time, Penn State. It was Steve Wisniewski, and the play was called the Wizarooski.
Okay, well, what a great name.
Right? They ran it at West Virginia. It was the day Major Harris had a big game, so they ran it late in the game. It went for no game. But they did. But Penn State ran it one time.
And that's coaches looking for loopholes in the rule book, and now they've just expanded it, because we now know that recruiting and player retention are critical elements of a strong football team.
We'll take a break. We'll come back with more in a moment. We are where we should be, on the other side of the tracks, as we continue on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
I've been working on the railroad all the long day.
I'll tell you right now, there are a lot of job openings at the railroad if anyone wants to consider changing profession. All right, so
we got... Little Casey Jones theme there, Sean?
Absolutely. Very nice.
Very I get, nice. You know, Chad gets credit for this.
Oh, okay. Good on you, Chad.
Yeah. Chad, great job.
Yeah. Thank you.
You know, I was wondering, does anybody have a feel for what the initial high school football playoff scenarios happen to be? I mean, they haven't played a game yet, you know. Does it matter? Well, that just explained away.
It doesn't matter.
Pretty much explains away 3 hours of error time on Friday nights.
What was that one time 3 or 4 years ago? 13 things had to break for Lion Mountain to get into the playoffs, and you had. Was it?
It was 12. 12 did, huh? Yeah. Right. So Lion Mountain didn't make it. Yeah, but Lion Mountain didn't make it.
And there were people.
Okay, so they didn't make it. He said to me, he says. He was explaining to me, he said, my head was spinning. I said, that's the difference between you and me. I don't listen. I just nod a lot. Yeah, okay, great. I got a game Saturday. All right, so no word from Ohio State.
I think they're on a long lunch break, Steve. I think it'll be, like I said, the Manafort jury only took 4 days. This could take a while.
You know, you also could have the decision come, for example, after 5 o'clock or 6
sure.
o'clock.
Sure. And the other part of this is when they start calling the coaches' lawyers to get involved, yeah. And what does that mean?
And Urban has had his lawyer with him all the meetings, every one of them, which is smart. Very smart on his part.
No question.
I mean, you have to be able to do that because, look, you're fighting for your job here.
Absolutely. And your reputation.
Yeah.
Steve, quick question, changing gears. We know that Penn State football is starting in, I think you said, 11 days, and can't wait for that. What are the things that are going on at Penn State and some of the other sports? Because it's not just football up there. There are some other things they do.
Women's soccer got off to a great start. They beat number 9, West Virginia, 1-0 on Friday night. 3,126 fans there. Then they beat Duquesne, as expected.
Yeah.
6-1. They've got UCLA at home on Saturday. It's also part of the 25-year celebration of Penn State women's soccer. There's going to be a luncheon. I'm sure they'll get some idiot to MC it.
I was going to say, there are people available to MC it in the state college area.
Yeah, and the field hockey team is ranked number 6. They will take on number 7, Virginia, coming up this weekend to start. Now, Char always starts with Virginia, starts with a ranked team. She likes coming out of the gate with that. Meanwhile, women's volleyball gets rolling on August 31st. They're going to be one of the top 4 or 5 teams in the country coming in. I was at their practice. I've been to their practice and a men's soccer practice. And I tell you, he has a really good-looking athletic team that can really move, which helps. They'll play a really good schedule. Obviously, Nebraska is going to be one of the favorites in the conference.
Yeah.
The defending national champions, really good. Men's soccer, Jeff Cook's the brand new coach there. He wants to play an attacking, go-for-it style. He really wants it always to be 11, either with or against the ball. That's what he wants. And, you know, he's got an interesting team. You know, Danny Marks is back. Danny Marks is from Israel. He was in the Israeli army.
Yeah. In his spare time, he's carrying a AK-47 or something.
Yeah, well, he was right there on the front lines.
Well, that's how Tom Morgan was during his soccer coaching days. 11 with or without the ball, right?
Yeah. So, I mean, that's what some of the other teams are doing at Penn State. And then you got, of course, cross-country and, you know.
You know, one of the most amazing people in the history of Penn State athletics has to be Russ Rose.
This is an unbelievable
man.
This is 40 years now for Russ Rose. 40 years. I've been with him most of it, obviously. Russ has a way of doing things, and Russ does not deviate from how he does anything.
I love that clipboard notebook he has right there in the corner.
Well, Russ says, look, everybody's keeping stats. He says, I keep my own stuff. So I trust what I write down and what I see and what my standard is as to why I'm writing down what I write down. Russ is a special guy. Doug Birdsong is here. Birdie.
Dougie.
Boy,
the voice of Bucknell everything.
It'd be great to share the stage with a play-by-play guy. All right. We're at Front Street Station. where today's show battles the trains.
The trains seem to be doing quite well.
I don't know if they're doing quite. I mean, this one's just sitting there by himself. What is this, a training run?